TV. TV. TV.
Okay, TV. On the phone. I looked up and saw what you were doing. And okay, now you're through. Wait, my headphone's not plugged in.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Your volume knob is down.
Oh, there I am.
This is LKTV.
So you played the theme song on your phone.
Yes.
How's that going to sound?
Probably a little tinnier than
like it doesn't wrong. Matter. No one cares.
No.
All they care about is you saying, TV.
This is LKTV.
TV.
A podcast of
TV.
A podcast of the television. I'm Alonzo Duraldi, film reviews editor for The Wrap, and film critic and TV recapper for What the Flick.
I'm Dave White. I'm from the Goop Gift Guide 2015.
Is that what you're looking at right now and not paying attention to this show?
I am looking at the Goop Gift the Goop Gift. I get Goop.
Okay.
Goop comes in the mailbox, in the email, in my email box.
So now you know where to get the best espadrilles in Barcelona?
I do. Would you like to know what I want for Christmas from the Goop Gift Guide?
This will be rich. And I mean that literally. What would you like from the Goop Gift Guide, Dave White?
Well, there's this interesting copper basket.
A copper... What?
It's only $170.
Oh, well, then.
It looks like rose gold, which is the new thing.
Yeah, let's get four of them, then.
There's an $8,000... Wait a second. What the hell is this thing? Oh, sorry. Sorry, not $8,000. It's a $3,000...
Oh, well, that's more reasonable.
...vase. So I want that.
I think once you get into four digits, it automatically becomes a vase.
No, it's always a vase. There's a Memento Mori skull with flowers decorating it. That's from Nymphenburg, so you know that. It says call for price.
Ooh, that's like when you see lobster on the menu and it says market price. It means we're not going to tell you now.
So
it's the section marked, if you have to ask, you can't afford it, lingerie.
That's right. There's a sponge.
Okay. How about you stop looking at the Goop?
$225 for this sponge.
For a sponge.
I want that sponge.
You better have pants and live in a pineapple under the
sea. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a porcelain dipped sponge.
Oh, well.
You take a sponge from the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Dip it in liquid porcelain in your liquid porcelain room.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's $200.
And then it becomes what? A paperweight?
Thing. It's a pretty thing that you look at. It's a pretty.
An objet d'art.
It's a pretty thing that you look at.
Okay. Why don't you stop looking at the Goop gift guide and let's do this episode of
Christmas
LKTV.
Is coming, though, and I need to know about what gifts I need.
I know. Winter is coming, too.
I need to know what you're going to get me from Goop.
for your git list?
For my git list. My Merry Christmas git list.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
From Goop.
You're getting
well,
nothing
you will
from Goop.
Be giving me lots of Goop gifts.
There will
gifts.
Be no Goop gifts for me. Let me be clear about that. All right. So
we're not home.
We're not home. That's why I'm playing our music out of my phone. We are at the Napa Valley Film Festival.
In a Westin hotel.
Yes.
It's a good hotel.
Why are you telling the world what we're saying?
They got... No one cares. I like to tell people things that no one cares about.
You're the one who's worried about the strangers.
And now, the alarm is set. Our neighbors are looking out. It's great.
No, but I meant the strangers that want to come to the Westin.
They can't get... They don't know what room we're in.
Fine. Well, by the time this thing's over, you'll probably blurt that out, too. Anyway, We're in Napa for the film festival.
We're in room 227.
Yes, with Marla Gibbs. More on that in a moment.
We're actually going to talk about 227.
Yes.
Today.
Our good friend Claudia Puig, who for many years was the film critic for USA Today and is now one of the big programming honchos for the Napa Valley Film Festival.
Is that a year-round gig?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her. Anyway, she invited me up here to do some panels with some other critics.
Because you got to earn a living to live up here.
Yeah, I think
Napa is bougie as hell.
Yeah, she's still L.A. based.
A lot of fancy wines and stuff.
Yeah. This is a resort area.
Oh, she don't live here?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think she's still L.A. based.
Oh, all right.
Because film festival programming, you want to be in L.A. It's where the action is, you know, and then you come up here for the event itself.
Perhaps that's true.
So we're here for the event itself, and it's very nice. They're taking very good care of us.
I like the cold air.
It is. There's a nice chill here.
I like that cold air. Mm. I like that burger I had today.
Yeah.
What was that place?
Gotts Roadside. G-O-T-T. G-O-T-T. Which our friend Mike Palmer recommended, and he was right on the money.
And there's free food tonight, right?
Yes.
God, that's the thing I'm looking forward to. I don't care about any of these movies. I'm just here to be a freeloader. I'm just on the train with you, so we can go to the Charles Schulz Museum.
Yes.
And then, other than that, I'm just kicking it.
All right.
You know how I am.
Kicking it in wine country.
You know how I am. I'm real chill up in wine country.
with a heavy, healthy pour of a Chardonnay.
You're that Real Housewives kind of glass.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking the Cougar Town.
It's like the size of a fishbowl.
The kind of entire bottle fits in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did watch shows.
Yes.
But we did a new thing that we're going to keep doing until Christmas. I had this fancy idea.
Mm-hmm.
Big idea.
It's not so fancy, but it is a big.
Grand idea.
Yes. It was grand.
A great idea. In the, like, our DVR is a for real TiVo.
Yes.
Which apparently.
TM.
Apparently, young people that I know think that's hilarious.
Yeah, apparently that's out of date because because we're still getting cable.
Well, but we have to because the mechanism for watching everything you want as it airs is still not there.
Yeah,
if you're a casual TV watcher and you want to see the shows you want to see, you can dump the cable and get it on, you know, on the internet through streaming services, whatever. But you and I have a bit of a snag.
Yeah,
I have to watch things right away and then talk about it right away.
Yes.
On What the Flick.
Yes,
and that cannot be if we don't keep the cable.
Right. Like, I can't watch AMC shows.
Oh, how
HBO
I'm waiting
shows.
For the moment when we can get rid of that cable, though.
And, yes.
So, they're going to get to a place, it's going to get to a place where you'll be able to stream something, like, the second it's over.
Ideally.
On the network, wherever they're. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And because the demand for that to happen is there.
I'm sure.
And then it's going to be sweet because we're going to get rid of that cable and we're going to save all that money. It's going to be fantastic.
You know what? I don't know. I see ourselves maybe like being wistful about cable once we have to start having a million little subscriptions to, you know, HBO Now and to Showtime Anytime and this one and that one and all these little hand-picked things as opposed to it all coming together. I mean, we'll see. I like the idea of cutting the cord. We'll see what the reality looks like if we ever get to that point.
For the moment, though, we have everything.
Yes.
We have the streaming subscriptions. We have the Apple TV. We have the cable subscription.
Right.
We got everything.
Right.
We got the DVDs of the box sets of TV shows that they keep sending us.
All kinds of things.
Been sitting on Manimal for weeks now.
We're going to get to that soon.
And I got to get into that Manimal. That was a show. What year is that? The '80s,
it was an
early
'80s.
'80s?
Yeah. mid to late.
It lasted for 8 episodes.
Yes.
But beloved by many.
So it's about a man.
Who's also an animal.
Yes.
He's a manimal.
Yes.
Hence that, the title. That show would not be canceled today. You just read me an article about how nobody's getting canceled anymore.
Yes, we'll talk about that when we get to letters.
Oh, that's for letters?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Somebody wrote a letter about that. So anyway, we have a TiVo, and in our TiVo...
is the word Christmas.
Is the word in our wish list. We have a Christmas wish list.
Yes.
And, you know, all year long...
they show Christmas stuff.
They are rerunning the Christmas episode of this sitcom or that. But they especially are concentrating them at the end of the year. Like, programmers have gotten savvy to make sure that those are in the mix.
Right.
As we get into November and December. Yep. So Dave had the genius idea to start taping the Christmas episode. Setting the VCR.
Grandpa.
Yes. To record various episodes, Christmas episodes of shows, mainly of shows that we don't usually watch.
Well, these are old-timey shows that have been not on the air for 30 years.
Right, but that we didn't watch then, and we don't watch reruns of now.
Oh, you know, but when I was a little kid, we watched Adam 12.
Okay, there are exceptions. Yes, I watched Adam 12 also. But neither of us ever watched Simon and Simon or 227, and we just watched the Christmas episodes of that.
Here's the thing about Simon and Simon. My mom loved Simon and Simon.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is essentially... Those female characters on The Simpsons.
The Bouvier sisters?
The sisters, yeah. She was, when my mother was with us, did I say is or was?
I don't remember.
Anyway, when my mother was alive, that was essentially who she was in terms of TV viewership. Mm. She loved Simon and Simon. She loved Jag.
Oh, that's right.
She loved Beauty and the Beast, the
Linda Hamilton, Ron Perlman show.
Yeah. She genuinely also loved MacGyver.
Mm.
She watched Murder, She Wrote. My mother was old before she was old. In the nursing home, it was constant, you know, USA shows.
Yes.
Criminal Minds.
Suits and Psych.
Oh, she loved Psych.
Royal Pains.
Yeah. No, all that stuff. So,
Burn Notice?
No.
Who watched Burn Notice?
I don't know.
Somebody.
But the,
Jeffrey Donovan's actually really good on Fargo now.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at him and go, yeah, you were on that show Burn Notice.
You're on Burn Notice.
Never, ever saw.
Don't know what it is. So I remember she would watch Simon and Simon. She thought it was so funny. Yeah. And I would pass by the TV on my way out the door to go do something.
Right.
And think, you know, I kind of like looking at that one with the mustache, but not enough to make me sit down and watch the whole show. Because if she's into it, it's boring or dumb.
Well, you know...
because my mom had garbagey taste in almost everything.
I've only got this one episode to go on, but I have to say, I think you were right. Garbagey and dumb. Okay, first of all, I barely even get what the premise of this show is.
They're like, brothers.
They're brothers, but they're real different.
They're super different. They don't look like they even came from the same parents.
Yes, although the mother is a main character of the show, but... if they don't have the same father, she's not talking.
Here's what it looks like. It looks like she had the blonde one, because she's kind of blondie herself.
Uh-huh.
Like, she had the blonde one, and then the mustache one made your dad.
Uh-huh.
What's the actor's
name? Gerald McGraney.
Gerald McGraney.
Mr. Delta Burke.
Mr. Delta Burke, yeah. It looks like, you know...
he was a foundling?
He was a rendezvous, you know what I'm saying?
One late night at the truck stop.
Because you've got one pretty boy, and then you've got one man. and that's a weird... like, and that's the kind of thing they used to do on TV all the time back in the 80s. It's like, they're so different. They're brothers. They don't even look alike.
But the thing is, for them to be different would require for either of them to have...
a personality.
A personality.
Yeah.
And they're both such nothing characters. characters.
Yeah.
At least, again, based on the Christmas episode that
I think we're meant to understand that blonde Simon is sort of
preppy
and defeat and
uptight,
and then mustache Simon
follows Jimmy Buffett on tour.
He's all his rowdy friends have settled down.
Right.
But not him.
Right.
You know, he wears a hat.
Like, is he the detective and the brother is supposed to be a lawyer or something? Or are they both detectives?
I don't care.
Yeah, it's unclear.
The name of this episode, the Christmas episode of Simon and Simon, is Yes, Virginia, There Is a Liberace. There ain't no Liberace in this show.
There is no mention of
Liberace. And he was alive still. And was not in this episode.
Liberace.
They wind up in Las Vegas.
With a bad piano player in an airport lounge, but he's not a Liberace.
Right.
Or even a Liberace type.
Right.
It's confusing.
So there's a compulsive gambler that they are chasing because the loan sharks are after him.
Yeah, who's one of the bad guys from Real Genius is trying to lean on him for all this money that he owes. But the Simons are trying to resolve it so this guy can be home for Christmas with his adorable blonde moppity daughter and his wife, who's played by Anne Lockhart, daughter of June in real life.
Yeah.
Who I only remember from the Steve Martin All Commercials special, but apparently worked and works quite a bit.
Yeah, like she's still in shows and stuff.
Yeah, she has a lot of ADR now, right?
Yeah.
Isn't she the one that does a lot of voice work?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, you'll see... I went to her IMDb page and she had a career with her name in the credits back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And now she does a lot of uncredited voice looping.
Mm.
But somehow it still winds up on her IMDb page. I expect it's because she's the daughter of June Lockhart.
Sure.
Who was a successful TV actress.
Right.
You know, for so many years.
Lost in Space and Petticoat Junction.
Lassie.
Yeah. Right.
And,
She was the lady MD on Petticoat Junction,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
When Bea Benaderé died, and they had to bring in another person to run the hotel.
You know what? How is it that you're 3 years younger than me, but you remember more about Petticoat Junction than I do?
Because I grew up on the Hooterville trilogy. They were constantly in reruns.
Petticoat Junction was constantly in reruns. Oh, you lived in Georgia.
Yes,
that's why.
In the South.
Yeah.
Could not get enough of the antics of Uncle Joe and the gals down at the Junction.
At the Junction.
Okay. Yeah. Petticoat Junction, Green Acres, and Beverly Hillbillies, as you may or may not know, the Hooterville trilogy.
They're all part of the same universe.
Yes. They're, it's canon. They're all connected by Sam Drucker. Because the Clampets were from Hooterville, which is where the farm was on Green Acres, and then down the tracks a bit was where Petticoat Junction was.
Right.
It's like the Marvel movies of their day.
Simon and Simon have a helper.
Oh, right.
Played by Tim Reed.
Yeah, post WKRP and pre Frank's Place.
Tim Reed's character's name, and I didn't know this until this week, is Marcel Proust Downtown Brown.
It won't be... I'm sure they're like, Downtown Brown, it's catchy, it's a little racist. What if we called him Marcel Proust Downtown Brown? That'll completely undo that.
That'll fix everything. I was just thinking about my mom.
He's like,
I'm thinking about like when she learned that his name was Marcel Proust Downtown Brown. If it just bleeped right over her head,
that's water off a duck's back.
Yeah,
not a second of anything.
My mother never knew that Marcel Proust existed.
No,
that is a fact.
No, and I don't say that as a disparaging thing. I'm just saying I know your mother. This was not a.
She
not
did
a joke.
Not.
This not not only.
I grew up in Hooterville.
Not only was this not a joke that registered, it didn't register that it was a joke.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So he plays kind of the sort of blandly palatable Huggy Bear of the show, basically.
Right. But who's smarter than they are?
Probably. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. This is a stupid show
Oh, God.
About And what I love about this episode is that it's sort of typical of Christmas-themed episodes of shows that have no strong reason to exist. They took a generic script and threw Christmas words into it.
Right.
And shot it in, you know, the sequence where it would air at Christmas and they put everybody in red sweaters.
Yeah, Santa costumes.
So you hear them as they're on their way to talk about, they're going to go pay a call to the loan shark, Simon right. Simonor. And they say, we're going to go jingle his bells and get down his chimney. Which sounds like they're going
to... It sounds dirty.
They're going to have sex with him. And
but it's for the holidays.
And then they go through the elaborate process of writing a song to sing to him. Take Frosty the Snowman and they change all the lyrics
to be about this gambling guy in debt
and his crimes.
Yes.
And how they're going to nail the loan shark with the song lyrics.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they have snuck into bad guy's party with what has to be the LA Gay Men's Choir.
Right, yes.
I mean, you have never seen a bunch of fair carol singers in your life.
Right.
You know, and 1980s versions of that. So
right.
They're very mustachy.
Lots of pastel sweaters.
Yes.
I'm mustachy.
Yeah, I know, but you're owning it. You're also real gay.
So then they chase him to
Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Where
there's an airport lounge.
Well, no, first.
And they win a turkey.
First, they wind up in a casino that's like a room. And it is a room that has slots and a craps table, but then lots of floor space for when the fight breaks out.
Right, yes.
And one cocktail waitress with one television, because that's important to the plot, as it turns out. And then, yes, then they win a turkey, a live turkey, and then they're at the airport, and they're stuck in Vegas for Christmas. Wah, wah.
Yeah. And then there's an ad for OurTime.com, which is a dating site.
For sexy seniors.
It's a TV commercial for a dating website for singles over 50. And that's who's watching Cozy TV.
C-O-Z-I.
C-O-Z-I. Cozy TV. OurTime.com's slogan is, get it wet at any age.
I think we made that one up.
No, that's their slogan. The reason I know this is because I work for them now. I'm their PR guy.
Well, you are over 50.
I'm 51. I'm 51.
But you are not single.
I'm not single. I am disappointed, however, not in you.
Oh, okay.
We watched four different Christmas shows this week. Because it's November, and November 1st is when you are allowed to start thinking and talking and doing things related to Christmas in a public way.
You know, it's funny.
You can plan for it all year long.
Yes.
You can shop for it all year long, but it's not cool to talk about the fact that you do that.
Until after Halloween.
After Halloween. Thanksgiving is a nice pit stop along the way, but it's Christmas. And if you don't agree with us, we're sorry, but you're wrong.
Yeah, I was going to suggest actually that we could have been working on cards up here on this trip. I was going to mention that before.
I'm very busy with other activities.
Okay,
fine. Yeah,
we'll get caught up later.
There's a free dinner tonight that I've really got a plan for. So there's a show called I Was Impaled.
Which I sounds like the kind of thing that you would just watch on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yeah, but this happened to be the Christmas episode.
Well, this happened to be... Well, they
promised...
They lied.
Yes.
They lied.
They put the word Christmas into their description so that we would be fooled by that.
I'm in the TiVo wish list. I've clicked on Christmas, and this episode of I Was Impaled comes up in the Christmas list.
Right.
And it says...
Who doesn't like impalements at Christmas?
A woman is impaled by a Christmas tree. And I was like... Record.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like something out of Female Trouble.
It was not a Christmas tree.
No.
It was a spruce
by the side of the road.
By the side of the road, and your truck drove into the spruce. The branch went through the window. The big sturdy branch went into her neck.
In her neck?
She's fine. They got the branch out of her neck.
This is one of those shows where, like, but
I was promised a Christmas tree. Yes. And if you're going to impale someone with a Christmas tree,
there should be ornaments on it.
Ornaments and lights.
Tinsel.
You lie.
This seems like one of those shows, like, I didn't know I was pregnant or whatever.
Yeah, where that's a good show,
where the people are talking about this thing way after the fact.
And then they're reenacting
really crappy reenactments. And then maybe, like, in this show, apparently there's a lot of X-ray vision. Like, you know, here's a neck and here's a tree branch and here's how one goes into the other.
I mean, it's great to watch that. Yeah. It's great to watch a neck being impaled by a tree. But it wasn't Christmas.
It was a big fake out.
And if you're not going to be a Christmas tree impaling a neck, then I don't have time for you.
Like, there should have been, like, you know, one of those sort of those gold strands of garland, you know, that's what I was expecting on the tree in the neck. But no.
So we watched Adam 12.
Yes, we did.
Now, Adam 12 was an old timey cop show.
Yes.
From the late 1960s. This is also on Cozy TV.
This was, I think it was Jack Webb's effort to make the LAPD seem nicer.
Well, but didn't Dragnet?
Well, Dragnet was always kind of serious, but yes. I think after the Watts riots especially, they really wanted to, like, put a happy face on the LAPD beat cop.
Martin Milner and what's-his-face?
Kent McCord.
Kent McCord from Emergency.
Yes, Martin Milner from Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah.
And Sweet Smell of Success.
Yeah. They were nice police officers.
Yes.
That was the whole shtick of the show.
Yeah, they go around helping people.
Two really nice cops who go around helping people.
Yeah. In the old boxy LAPD uniforms.
Those beautiful old cop cars. And,
yeah.
Yeah. The episode name is The Pilgrimage. It is boring.
Well, first of all, this was
30 minutes.
This is a half hour.
Yeah.
Drama.
Feels like an hour.
Yeah, it dragged like crazy. It magically sell. But no, just the idea of, like, a half hour drama. Like, they used to make those? That was a thing in television?
What I like about it, even though it was boring as hell.
Well, the shots of vintage LA are fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's all these exterior locations in Los Angeles and the names of businesses and restaurants on specific streets.
Oh, yeah, the signs are there,
And so, like, all through the episode, I'm on my laptop Googling the names of these places, like, is it still there?
When did that restaurant close?
Did it go? Is it gone now? Like, literally nothing that appears on camera...
is still there.
Is still there. Because Los Angeles...
has a turnover rate.
Los Angeles poops out new buildings and businesses and restaurants and then flushes them away... in like a 5-month cycle.
True. But thankfully there are enough, like, sort of local amateur historians that keep track of everything that ever was.
Yes.
So you'll find a website devoted to, you know, this seafood place that's not there anymore.
This used to be. Yeah, yeah.
It's like driving around with our friend Chris Gardner, who does nothing but point to mini malls and go, well, that used to be a blah, blah, blah. That's really cool. And then they tore it down.
So they started the episode talking about buying Christmas gifts.
Yes.
And
mistletoe.
Kent McCord says, I bought some out of sight lingerie. and Martin Milner goes, and what'd you get for your girlfriend? No. Yeah. But though, you know, they deal with a jaywalker. They deal with a man who robbed a Santa Claus.
Right.
Who was drunk.
Yes.
And then he got in a fight with Santa Claus, and they both got arrested.
So then they arrest Santa.
Terrible child shows up and goes, what are they doing with Santa Claus? Yeah. I'm like, shut up, kid. That ain't Santa Claus. And you're saying his name wrong.
And then there's, like, this.
Then there's a dead person.
Right. Oh, yeah, the drunk driver. Oh, yeah, Foster Brooks plays a dramatic drunk.
Explain who Foster Brooks was.
Okay, kids, alcoholism used to be hilarious. And there were several comedians who built an entire shtick out of pretending to be drunk.
Yep.
Dean Martin famously would pull that off a lot, although apparently he was never
drunk on stage. He was not much of an actual drinker, apparently.
Yeah, but yeah. It just became a shtick of his.
Yeah.
Phil Harris, who you may know as the voice of Baloo the Bear in the Jungle Book movie from Disney, also did this one. But perhaps...
He had albums, and on the album covers, he'd be like, holding a drink. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, it was charming.
Yeah.
And perhaps the most legendary of the drunk comics was Foster Brooks, and that was his shtick. Was that he would always be talking like this, and
like nearly falling down.
Yeah, and like barely coherent.
Malapropisms.
Saying yeah. things that were sort of strangely illogical and yet very true to the same time. anyway, so
your impersonation is kind of terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really doing him right. I'm not doing him justice. Look for him on YouTube. You'll find some Foster Brooks from like some old, you know, roast episodes or something. Anyway, he's a dramatic drunk in this one. Like they pull him over for a DUI on his way home from a Christmas party. You got to knock back a few with the subordinates. And it was kind of weird. It's like, I'm trying
but
to...
But there's a dead body in the street.
With presents with
Christmas,
next to it.
Christmas presents on the ground.
Which, you know, frankly, like, if you're not going to impale me with a Christmas tree, you better scatter some gifts yes. next to your, like, roadkill.
But it's really funny to watch the Foster Brooks character, like, not take ownership of this
Yeah, this death. Event.
Like, that person is dead because he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are these bystanders who do not care.
Yeah, they're just gawking
they're just
at everything.
Staring, like, oh, check it out. Look at that. And they're like, oh, nobody want those presents. I'll take them.
But yeah, just but it was just weird that like Foster Brooks, his entire career is like, oh, ha, ha, ha. He's drunk. And this is like, oh, it's so terrible. He's drunk.
And then there's a hippie drug lady shoplifter and they get her, in the jail.
In the department store
and they,
office.
And they talk to her about it. And she goes, you know, my old man, father of my kids, he left me. We thought life was going to be one big trip, free love and freakouts forever. Then the kids came. And it wasn't so fun anymore. And
then her husband was off taking reds, whites, rainbows. And then he fell into a coma and died. And I still wonder what rainbows are.
I don't know. And then a Native American family.
Who are the most naive people
on
Earth.
The dumbest human beings alive. Like
they don't know how traffic signals work.
Yeah. If you, and they're from New Mexico, which is where I'm partially grew up.
But apparently, like, the reservation they live on was nothing but cacti.
Yeah.
Like, they have no idea how the modern world functions.
And I think you could get away with that on TV back then by, like, making them seem primitive and strange.
Yeah.
Because they even dress their baby in one of those little sort of papoose kind of outfits. Like, here's a leather-fringed baby dress, you know? And you watch it now and you're thinking, this is completely racist. But back then, I think they thought it was, like, hip and together to put a...
Yeah, they're untouched by our messed up world, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They're living on the land.
Well, so naturally, they lose track of their baby.
In the middle of, like, Laurel Canyon
in the middle of the hills where...
There's coyotes,
and there's going to be a mountain lion eventually show up, because you do get those every once in a while over there. It eats your dog or something, and like, that baby, that... Dingo's going to eat that baby real fast. But then the baby follows the big light-up cross on the hill, you know?
Oh, right, yes. Which, if you've ever seen, like, the Hollywood sign is on sort of one side of the 101.
Right.
And then there's the giant light-up cross on the
other
side.
Does the cross still light up at night, though?
I think so.
I see it in the daytime, you see it.
Oh, does it light up at
night?
But
I don't know if it lights up at night anymore.
Good question.
I haven't noticed it.
Next time we're
over
there.
But it's there, still
we'll
there.
Yeah, yeah. I see it in the daytime. You're right. I'll have to look.
The end. they save the baby.
It's very abruptly over. Like, okay,
like
they find the baby.
They move through, like, six different crimes and problems in a 20-minute show. They're like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
They are fixing stuff all day.
Mm.
227.
227.
We also watched 227.
Which, and this episode I found out while reading Wikipedia, it was from the last season where they were...
No more Jack Hay.
No more Jack Hay, and apparently the ratings were flagging, so they added all these new characters to the cast
that no one cared about,
including Barry Sobel. that no one cared about, and the show it was soon thereafter was killed. So this was their last Christmas.
Like they're even still faking the idea that Jack Hay still lives in the building. And they say, oh, no, she went to the Bahamas. It's Christmas. She's in Bahamas.
I don't know that she lived in the building, but that's that she's around, you know.
Right.
I also read on Wikipedia. Apparently, there was friction between her and Marla Gibbs.
Oh, really?
Because Jack A was the breakout star of the show.
Well, that's because she was the funny one.
Well,
on the
yes,
show.
But it was supposed
Marla
to be.
Marla Gibbs was the funny one on The Jeffersons.
Right.
They give her own show, and she becomes the straight man for every other wacky person around her. That is Jack A.
Exactly. Well, anyway, Marla, not happy about that. And Jack A, like, they did a pilot with her, but then it didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So they talk about Jack A's character as though she were going to pop in at any moment. And
right.
Then
and say, Mary.
this is such a, like, a 47B of sitcom plots. It's the, I'm throwing a Christmas party.
On Christmas Eve.
And then everybody says they're not going to show up. And then just when she starts getting all sad and alone, everybody's plans change and they all turn up.
And they're stupid plans, too, because like it's like her daughter, that's Regina King, is her teenage daughter.
That was her first acting gig.
Yeah. Regina King is going on a school ski trip
on
Christmas Eve. Yeah. Like leaving on Christmas Eve day, spending Christmas away from, like everyone, the... Can you imagine being the chaperone on that trip? I had to chaperone. When I was a school teacher back in the 90s, I had to chaperone some overnight trips.
Oh, I remember.
Those were hell on earth.
Well, it's because you got stuck in those campgrounds.
You cannot ever stop working when you have to be that chaperone. It's not like you get a minute off. You're constantly having to monitor the behavior of children whose job, when they are away from their parents... is to raise hell. And so you're exhausted by the time it's over. You just want to die. And any ideas you ever had about like the worthiness of being a school teacher are pushed to the brink.
Well, yeah. So having to give up your own Christmas to go skiing with a bunch of other
kids that was
who
not
are giving
ask,
up their
happened.
Own Christmas makes no sense. Only on a sitcom where we just accept that as logical.
And then, again, it's this episode where there's nothing really different happening than would normally happen, but they just throw a lot of Christmas words into the script.
Right. And then they put Paul Winfield in a Santa Claus costume.
Paul Winfield is the gay landlord?
Yes.
And he was a gay landlord, but never said he was gay.
I don't know.
Like, that character was never identified as gay, but he was just a gay landlord.
Yeah.
And then you find out that he helps all the orphans at Christmas. And then Stoney Jackson shows up and all the girls in the audience go, ooh!
It was terrible.
It was terrible, yeah. It's so the worst was I was impaled because it was a
not
lie.
Not really Christmas, yeah.
And then the next worst was... Simon and Simon.
Because it was an hour.
Because it was an hour. and then I'd say the next worst was 227.
Yes, definitely.
The best of the bunch...
was Adam 12.
Adam 12, just because it's so vintage and weird and...
covered so much ground.
And is from an era when you and I were tiny little children... Mm-hmm. The world was radically different than it is now.
Yeah, like Adam 12 existed so that The Rookies would seem edgy.
Right. Or that any show would seem edgy. The Mod Squad
seemed
edgy compared to Adam 12.
Yeah, Adam 12 is, like I said, it's a
show for children to teach them to like the police.
Yeah, it's a Jack Webb show. It's very square.
Yeah. So I watched Supergirl again.
And is it growing on you at all?
Here's what this is my big takeaway from the show.
What's that?
When she says, I'm still figuring out what Supergirl means. Speaking of herself in the third person.
Well, she didn't pick the name.
True.
So I could see her describing the nomenclature as the entity that people are talking about. It's not, she's not being Garth Brooks.
I'm still figuring out what Chris Gaines means.
We're all trying to figure that out.
The show is fine. Like, I wouldn't be watching it if it weren't for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because of you. I think I said that last week.
And I'm only watching it for them. For the LKTV.
Do we care? Party. Here's, I guess, what I'm asking you now that we've seen three episodes.
Uh-huh. Do we care?
Do we care? I mean, if they're not going to cancel shows anymore, are we going to cancel shows
by just not watching them anymore? Yeah, I don't know. It's not. I'm not loving it, but I have to say, you know, sticking with The Flash paid off. But right. Then again, I don't know that. My experience would be all that different had I stopped watching The Flash and then started watching it again this season. Like, I don't, it's not like I'd be so behind on, oh, these characters, they've developed so much, you know?
Right.
I think they're still kind of finding their footing. I might want to just sort of revisit Supergirl in a couple of months.
To see if she's superer.
You know, I don't know. I like some of the relationships on the show. I like her and her sister, I think, are kind of cool. And
right.
I think it's hilarious that this show exists in a universe where everyone is so attractive that Jeremy Jordan gets to be the also-ran guy. It's like, yeah, I know you're into me and all, but, you know, Jimmy Olsen is way hotter.
Jimmy Olsen is hotter.
But now there's, like, this whole love triangle... Pentagon. I don't even know what shape we're talking about here.
Who are the potential lovers?
Okay, Wynn, who is right. Jeremy Jordan, yes. is in love with Kara. Yes. Kara kind of likes him, but she's mainly in love with Jimmy Olsen. At least yes. I think so at the moment.
Yeah.
Jimmy Olsen, we have now just discovered, is rebounding from Lucy Lane, played yes. by Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Okay.
Who is not quite ready to break up with him yet, even though he got the heck out of Metropolis to distance himself from that relationship. So we'll see where all this goes.
I just don't know that I care.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not super grabbing me, if you'll pardon the expression. And Calista Flockhart, it is fascinating to see how much effort is being expended to, like, Sybil Shepherd her on this show.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't envy... actresses over 40.
Absolutely.
Their jobs, when they can get them.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Very demanding.
Are obstacle ridden. Yeah. It's just weird to watch it play out in front of you.
Yes.
And that's...
And even putting that aside, I don't know how well cast she is to be Miranda Priestly, who is essentially right. who she's playing.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't seem threatening in a way that like that no. Meryl Streep did. Like you need
sorry,
somebody,
we didn't mean to yawn there.
You need somebody.
It's the afternoon.
Yes, you need.
I haven't had my nap.
You need somebody who's a little more Cruella De Vil, and she's just kind of.
She just seems brittle. She doesn't seem mean or cool or nervy.
Yeah.
Or
she doesn't radiate the kind of intelligence that's supposed to back up this character's. Condescension.
Right.
And so it just...
When Meryl Streep gives you the blue sweater
yeah,
monologue,
like she knows her stuff and
she knows
you
what
better
she's
know
talking
it too,
about. Yeah.
You know? And this is just sort of like, meh, I'm in charge.
Hashtag bleh.
Yeah, exactly. The Affair, I'm still a couple episodes behind, but I'm watching it every week.
Thank you for showing me the naked parts.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. That was from episode one. I got up to the episode where, this was a first. It was half Helen, half Noah. So the first half is about her name just flew out of my head, Maura Tierney, the ex-wife, and she winds up like getting stoned and then having to pick up two of the kids at some summer camp thing and gets into a car accident and she gets
nice.
Arrested.
Oh, good.
And Noah's got to come take the kids. But then he screws it up too because like he takes them to his brother's house and or his sister's house and everything's all hunky-dory. But then his dad's there and the dad's a jerk. And then he and the sister get into an argument. And then he takes the kids away again and they wind up in some motel in the middle of Jersey. And it's a, you know, it's this... the show, I think it does a really interesting thing in that every time you think you might be on one character's side,
right,
that character does something terrible.
Right.
And you're reminded, oh yeah, you're a jerk too. So for this episode, it was kind of like, if you were thinking, oh, poor Noah, you know, his wife won't let him live with his girlfriend, and, you know, he wants to spend time with his kids and blah, blah, blah. When he spends time with the kids, he's not very good at it. And in fact, clearly, clearly wants to get, like, wants to exploit the situation of the wife getting arrested to get full custody, not because he wants full custody.
Right.
Not because he has any great interest in spending that much time with his kids, but yeah, just as a gotcha to the ex-wife.
And that's, it's like, good. That's good parenting.
Yeah, that's the kind of motivations you really want to have in child rearing. So it's like, oh yeah, you're a jerk too. So, you know, that's a ballsy move, because so much of TV is involved with making us like people.
Right.
I admire that this show goes out of its way to make sure that we don't like them, any of them, too much.
No, that's, I mean, I'm really happy when characters are mysterious or off-putting or, you know, unlovable.
Yeah.
That I want to find out what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, well, these are all really...
Even if it's their death.
Especially. These are really interestingly flawed and complicated characters, and I like that a lot.
It's kind of why I still sort of kind of do really like Difficult People.
Oh, I love Difficult People.
It doesn't always make me laugh, even though I think Billy Eichner is really funny. But they're just so obnoxious characters.
Yeah.
That I want to see them be destroyed somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's a tricky balance to do. I mean, like, one of the things I think that was so great about AbFab in the day,
yes,
was that they gave you these characters who were repellent and terrible and still almost always managed to prevail.
Yes.
You know, which was kind of funny. And you kind of rooted for them and then hated yourself for doing it because you would sit back and go, oh, no, wait, they're terrible. Why am I on their
side? I never hated myself for rooting for them.
But they would occasionally also get a well-deserved comeuppance as well. And, you know, so
that's funny, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, what I like about Difficult People is these characters never quite succeed, but they're never completely torn down either. Like, they will live to, you know, be awful again next
right.
week, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I really like Difficult People a lot.
I think Andrea Martin is the funniest thing on the show.
Oh, she's so great.
Andrea,
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think she's one of the great underrated talents of the last, you know, 30 or 40 years.
Yes.
I saw her in a production of Terrence McNally's Lips Together, Teeth Apart
right.
at the Taper, which is a fairly intimate theatrical space in Los Angeles. And it was her and Nathan Lane and, what's his name? The guy, John Glover, and I forget the other actress, but Andrew Martin was transcendent in that she was playing this character that was funny but also heartbreaking,
yeah.
and she sold you both at the same time without ever undercutting one or the other or being sentimental or goopy about it.
Right.
It was like nothing I've ever seen. Granted, I haven't gone to nearly as much theater as a lot of people I know.
Yeah.
But that just has always stayed in my mind. Is just
such as myself.
This extraordinary performance, and to watch it live was just so great. And then you see her in things like this where she'll pop up for a scene or two and just kill it. You know, even like in a movie I didn't like All Over the Guy, for instance, where she plays the mother of one of the characters. I mean, just her moments are so dead on, smart.
I don't remember anything about that movie.
Well, she was in it, and she was very good.
Great.
So, yeah, I adore Andrew Martin. You know, James Urbaniak, who I always enjoy.
Right.
And just the people who drift in and out of that show, like your Martin Shorts and your... You know, every episode has three or four just like, oh, wow, they got that guy. You know, John Benjamin Hickey. You know, they all yeah. these really great sort of, you know, New York talents. And, yeah, I'm a big, big fan of Difficult People. I hope Hulu brings it back.
And then because we are in the Napa, we haven't watched Ash versus Evil Dead yet.
Yeah, but we'll get there.
Behind on that. We'll get to that next week.
Yes. And very soon we'll talk about Manimal too.
Can't wait. We have so many. If you think the Christmas episode thing is just a one-off, oh, you're so wrong. Oh,
we're just getting started.
We have so many
just
more.
Just warming
we
up.
We have so many more backed up in the DVR. They just keep throwing them at us.
And we haven't even started talking about specials yet. I've already got the DVD of Glenn Campbell Christmas specials.
I watched Tori and Dean's Thanksgiving cooking show.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand...
them?
...why anyone should care about them.
All I know about them is clips that I see on The Soup. My understanding is that basically their marriage is constantly imploding in slow motion and cameras are always there to pick it up.
Yeah. Like... first of all...
so are they, like, arguing while making a turkey on the show? What's happening?
No, it's... okay, so here's everything I know about Tori and Dean. Mm-hmm. It all comes from Wendy Williams.
Ah.
You're absolutely right. Their marriage is constantly imploding, and the cameras are always there. He cheated on her. Uh-huh. They've got 4 kids, and he cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't a bad-looking man. He's kind of a big, strapping... dumb Canadian.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she's supposed to do with her life now that she wasn't gifted with, you know, the fortune. Like, she's got to work for a living.
She didn't just inherit?
No. Her dad didn't leave her everything and didn't leave her brother everything either.
Hmm.
Left it all to the wife.
Oh, and she and Candy
don't
have had friction for a while.
They don't get along all that well, and so Tori has to work. And here's the thing about poor Tori. She's not a good actress. Like, at all, really.
No. I will say this in her...
she's funny in Trick.
She's funny in Trick, yep. And So Notorious was funny.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I take it back. Tori Spelling is okay.
She can be funny.
You're right. You're right. I'm wrong.
But I'm sure...
change of heart.
But here's the thing.
Her cooking show is terrible.
I'm sure that she has to audition against a lot of other people around her age who are just as funny, if not more so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a competitive area. So what happens in the cooking show?
They make cooked Thanksgiving foods.
Uh-huh.
And then they sit on a couch, and then they talk about the cooking, and then they begin the show with saying, 2015 sure was an eventful year for us. This is this weird, awkward pause, and then Tori goes, but love conquers all.
So it's like recreating the worst, most awkward family Thanksgiving possible.
And now let's make a Jell-O mold. And they really do make a Jell-O mold.
Wow.
Here's the part that I don't buy. Dean and the cooking. He's like, oh, I'm standing here in front of my stove and I'm making these stuffed artichokes with, you know, blah, 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 whatever, and like all these different ingredients. And he's like, and you've got to, you know, put it in a bath of this or that and so to reduce the acidity. And I'm like... dude, you don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking
you're
about.
You're reading a cue card.
You do not know what you're talking about. Everything they do looks like it was done by actual chefs off camera.
Right.
Everything is a disaster on this show. It's awkward and weird, and it doesn't inspire you to make anything. Like, here's why I watch cooking shows.
Yeah,
because I want to learn things. I want to make stuff. And so that failed, and it's just bizarre.
So, I mean, what kind of, is it like, does he say stuff like, oh, well, you like the canned cranberry sauce, right? She goes, no, you're thinking of your mistress.
I wish that had happened.
It's just awkward. Okay.
She's checking his phone, and all he's mixing in the KitchenAids, you know.
Just running down the credit card bills, honey.
Oh, you went to a hotel What's happening?
It's my phone. You keep talking.
Your phone is playing Pizzicato 5.
Yes, it's somebody's ringtone.
Why are you... Just let it go. It doesn't matter. Reject that call. There we go. All
right.
Whoever you are, he'll call you back. Wait. Hand me that phone.
It's Dean. I'm the other woman.
Are you having an affair with Dean? While he's trying to cook Thanksgiving?
He was going to show me how to make sweet potato pie.
Hello, David Alonzo. Congratulations on the launch of LKTV.
Woo!
I enjoyed the first television podcast and look forward to many more. And a special congratulations on your 5th anniversary of Linoleum Knife.
Thank you.
I, for one, always smile when I hear Alonzo say in a podcast, "I owe you nothing, Dave White." And Dave White responding, "You should be saying thank you, Dave." In the inaugural LKTV podcast, Alonzo said he is resisting watching Mr. Robot because of the overzealousness of many of its rabid fans. I sympathize because I too resisted the many calls to watch a USA Network show. Here are 5 reasons why you should give it a try in spite of the pleas of grating fanboys. Number 1.
Characters are welcome.
Mr. Robot is critical of the dark side of the current state of American capitalism to such a degree it is a surprise that corporate advertisers have not pulled their spots. 2. The show has taken clever, illuminating shots at supposed technological sacred cows, including Steve Jobs. Well, so did the movie. 3. Unlike most dramas on television, Mr. Robot explores sadness, depression, and self-medication in a way that's both accurate and heartbreaking. Number 4. Rami Malek's performance. He is absolutely captivating. Number 5. B.D. Wong in a dress. Sounds cloying, but I'm not giving away too much by saying the surreal choices used in the series have been surprising and enlightened. Give it a shot, Alonzo. All the best. Christopher L.
All right. He knows
who he is.
I might. We'll see. I do like Rami Malek. I'm thrilled that he is a lead. He's one of those character actors whose name I learned because I would see him in things like The Master and be like, who's that guy? He's interesting. So it's nice that he's got a vehicle.
All right. Here we go. Dave White, this is not directed to you at all. Only to your husband, whose head has been on a level of ridiculousness over the past few days. Alonzo, stop. You need to stop and watch Mr. Robot. Why? Why are you sitting here saying that now you will never watch that show? Are you serious?
What was that about annoying fanboys?
Are you just trying to pull a reaction out of your fans? Do you wake up every morning and ask yourself, I wonder what I can do to piss off Noah Whittaker? Because it sure
yes,
seems like it.
That's how I begin every day. Always in my thoughts.
Listen, dude, stop holding back. You're missing out on so many good shows. You didn't watch American Crime. You're probably never going to watch Mr. Robot. You never watched The Wire. You probably never will. You've seen The Sopranos, though. Give me a break. You don't watch Rectify. You don't watch How to Get Away with Murder. Alonso Duralde, husband of mine.
You know, I wish I
why
were...
Why don't you watch every show on
because
television?
Because I'm not 15 years old.
Why don't you watch every show?
With all the time in the world
no,
to watch
you know what?
Television.
15-year-olds, they have a lot of homework these days.
Well,
more than you and I have.
Mr. Whittaker apparently does not. And maybe when he gets a driver's license, he will spend less time curled up with the glass teat. But as it is, I have not had time to watch
He continues, stuff. Are you even really that busy? Are you even a film critic? Are you even gay?
Yes, yes, and boy howdy.
And then he goes on. Explain yourself, and I do not want to hear any made-up, by-the-book baby excuses. Everything that comes out of your mouth better be legit. Thanks. Love you, Dave. Not you, Alonzo. You've lost all my love. Goodbye.
Great. Goodbye forever.
That's actually, that's a pretty funny letter. I, you know what? You deserve to be called out for not watching every TV show that's on.
I know. Who do I think I am?
On television.
How dare I?
I think you do. I was listening to last week's Linoleum Knife TV. I think that's the exclamation point works. Oh, no. I was listening to last week's Linoleum Knife TV. I think the exclamation point works here. Ah. And I was thinking about how much you guys would enjoy the Great British Bake Off. Then you read a letter that beat me to the punch. That's what I get for not sending an email about it immediately after the first episode. Anyway, I want to also tell you guys about the wonderful cooking competition show, The Great British Bake Off.
Which you put in TiVo, right? Somebody's showing it?
I did. And I picked it up, and I haven't had a chance to get to the episode yet. Yeah, but when we get home, I will. I've listened to your show for years. I'm sorry, I missed a sentence. One of the judges, Mary Berry, is someone I would adopt as my grandmother. The best part, at the end, you get a cake stand engraved with your winning title. That's it. People compete for a fancy cake stand. I've listened to your show for years, and I've always wanted a reason to write. I've never submitted a top 10 because I have horrible taste in movies. Spoiler alert, my number one favorite movie is That Thing You Do.
It's not terrible.
We don't hate that movie. It's not good, but we don't hate it.
It's fine.
But I'm happy to share a favorite TV show with you. Also, Dave, since you are new to Instagram and technology, and since, like me, you are fascinated by the internal workings of the body, the account Death Under Glass has amazing pictures. Vivian. Thanks, Vivian. I'm going to go look that up right now.
Oh, God. Is this going to be people in slices or something?
Death Under Glass. Can't wait. Search Instagram.
Yes, you typed in Instagram. It makes for great radio, let me tell you.
Under Glass. Death Under Glad, I posted. I'm sorry. That's not right. Here it is. Death Under Glass. 58,000 followers. So, I'm not the only one that enjoys looking at these sorts of things, am I?
I never said you were.
Yeah.
Just that you were wrong.
Death investigations at high magnification. That's the whole Instagram account.
Enjoy.
I'm stoked. Okay, so, thank you, Vivian. Next one, an LKTV letter.
So this is our third episode, and we've already getting so much LKTV feedback. It's very exciting.
Hello, I was wondering if you two will continue some commentary on the fact that no network shows are canceled yet this season.
Yes, I'd seen headlines about that, but I had not.
Maybe there was a life for Viva Laughlin after all.
Well, according to this LA Times article, basically they're sort of operating in this new world where it's hard to say if a show is a hit or not, because it could be that people are watching it after 3 days on TiVo, after 7 days on TiVo, or they're watching it later on Hulu, or they're watching it on the network website.
Right.
Like, there's so many options now, and people are watching shows whenever they ding-dang feel like it, that the old paradigm doesn't count necessarily. And then the problem is you don't want to spend all the time and money that's involved in developing a show, preparing it to go on the air. Then you cut it loose after a few episodes, and then Yahoo or Netflix or Hulu or somebody else snaps it up and benefits from all the hard work and money that you poured into this proposal and figures out a way to make it work for the size audience that's right for it.
Right.
So we're in November and none of the new fall shows have been canceled yet, which is definitely new and interesting territory. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it's just sort of where we are right now, and I'm sure it can't
last.
What
does it mean for Blood and Oil?
It means they're still on the air.
I've got a lot invested in Blood and Oil.
They have a reduced order of episodes, but they're not canceled. But on that token, neither are the Muppets, even though their numbers apparently have been kind of not great. So,
oh, really?
They also got a reduced order, but I'm hoping that they stick it out, because I'm still liking that show.
Yeah, me too. I'm 2 weeks behind on it, but I'm
a little behind myself.
Still into it. Our watching it won't count for ratings.
That's true, because it'll be +7 by the
whatever. Time. They're the Muppets. They're an entertainment empire.
They're indestructible.
They'll live on without us. That was from Ben.
Yes. Yeah. It was interesting though, because I was doing this panel today with some other critics, and we were talking to filmmakers, and we were discussing the fact that for a lot of us, a lot of publications don't review VOD movies, video on demand, like the ones that are streaming, the premiere on Apple TV and all the other places. And part of the reason for that is that no one knows who the audience is for those movies. You know, a film opens theatrically, even if it opens on two screens, you get a box office report for how many tickets it sold and right. how it's doing. If your movie premieres on, you know, streaming services, unless it's something like The One I Love, where they made a big point of saying, look, we sold this many downloads on opening right. weekend. Generally, there's no stats.
Right.
And so with no stats, you don't know, are 10 people watching it, or 10,000 people watching it, or 10 million people watching it? And so then, so editors are sort of not excited about covering that stuff, because they don't know, if they don't know who's buying it, they don't know who wants to read about it.
Right.
So I think we're going to have to move into a place where, you know, they understand the new technology as much as they understand the old technologies, and they figure out a system of reporting viewership and numbers in a way that means anything to anyone, and then translate that into, you know, does this show stay on, that kind of thing. You know, I think it's this weird Wild West at the moment where no one really seems to be collecting those figures.
I like that. I like that. I don't want anyone to know how popular anything is. I just want everybody to watch the thing they want to watch.
Yeah.
I want Happy Endings to still be on the air.
Well, yeah.
I want that show to be on Hulu or
If we're making wishes, yeah.
I am making a wish. Put Happy Endings back on TV. How long has it been off now? 3 or 4
yeah.
years? Something like that. A while. And
nobody's doing anything so great they can't be pulled away from it.
Those folks from that show, all of whom are wonderful.
Yeah.
What other shows have they been on that have been so great?
Well, Casey Wilson got that other show that
was
not as good.
Not as good as Happy Endings.
Yeah.
Created by her husband who's the creator of Happy Endings.
Right. Didn't Damon Wayans Jr. go back to New Girl?
I think he did, but they don't deserve him.
And I think Adam Pally was on Mindy Project.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what Zachary Knighton or any of the other women are doing, so...
Yeah. Well, Alicia Cuthbert was on Ellen's show, but did that show...
Oh, that didn't last. Yeah, One Big Happy.
Did that last?
That didn't last.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring them back. Bring them all back.
Make Happy Endings happen again.
That would be so great.
They're going to do new Gilmore Girls shows, movies or whatever. They can do Happy Ending shows.
Oh, I wish.
Bring it back. Hannibal too. Everything. Pushing Daisies.
All the things.
Yeah.
Is that it for letters?
No, one more.
Okay.
Dear Alonzo and Dave, I am really enjoying LKTV.
Oh.
I think Dave, using the made-up word, divorceration, is a sign he is watching too much Wendy Williams. She does add Asian to things.
Oh, really?
I hadn't really thought about that, but she does.
She got from Mary J. Blige.
True. Mary J. is the originator of that. Will you be saddened by the cancellation of America's Next Top Model? No.
I had not watched it in years.
Me too. I stopped watching America's Next Top Model after, the 4th or 5th go-around?
I think I might have lasted a little bit longer, but not much. I'd say by 10 I was out.
Yeah. I got out early after season 4 or 5, like I was done.
Yeah.
And the one person we know who is from that show,
right,
who was a contestant and who went on to have modeling as a career, a real one.
Modeling.
A period of time.
Yes.
It would appear that her memories of being on that show were not super great.
No.
And so...
But she was also on the season where they were still getting their footing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know that show did anybody any good.
Well, I think it provided some entertainment.
Entertainment, yeah. Here's the rest of the letter. I will be pouring out a beer on a weave in honor of Tiffany. If you will remember, we do.
Oh, yes.
Tiffany was all set to appear on Cycle 3 when she got into a fight with another contestant.
At Barney's Beanery,
and the bitch poured a beer on my weave. Tiffany was brought back the next cycle, where she was yelled at by Tyra for not taking her elimination seriously enough. we were all rooting for you. Oh,
that was the apex of that show. It never got any better than, we were all rooting for you.
I have never yelled at a girl like this.
Oh, the good times.
Thank you for all you do.
That's from
Frank.
The guys at Mabim Bam were seriously heartbroken about ANTM going up there because they were keeping up with it. They boys in the house, all they were up to the bitter right. end. They yeah. were all glued. You know, Griffin McElroy is still upset about this.
I lost interest. Mm. I lost interest in what felt like a show that was only about fighting and not about
modeling.
About modeling or taking it seriously or, you know, a girl's story seemed to matter more than her abilities.
Well, yeah, that's why I stopped watching reality TV. Even the competition shows.
Don't like it. And don't get me wrong, I love fighting. I like fighting, but not in a competition show so much. Mm. I want the competition shows to be about the competition.
Right.
I want Shaws of Sunset
to be about fighting.
To be about fighting.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch either of them, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you have a pick this week? A television pick you want to share with people?
No, just that ad for OurTime.com.
I'll see if I can find it.
It's my favorite commercial. I don't really care about recommending shows to people. I recommend commercials now. That's going to be what I do.
Fine.
I'm into recommending the spots, the ads, because those are my other entertainment on television.
Fine.
And I don't think people respect that enough. OurTime.com, a singles dating site for people over 50. What if you get on there and find love because of me? What if I tell you about this ad, and instead of the ad, you just go to OurTime.com and learn that your soulmate is there?
They're not paying us for this.
I don't care. They don't know who we are. It doesn't matter. Fine. I'm going to OurTime.com right now. Just check it out.
Fine. What if somebody goes and has a terrible time? What if they set up a date with someone and that person turns out to be Sackface from The Strangers? Will we be liable for that? Are you opening up a whole can of worms here now that we're going to get pinned down for some terrible dating site that somebody went to? Think about it, Dave White.
Look.
Own your responsibility.
On their main page, on their front page, on the home page, mm-hmm. Tips for meeting online. Sorry, tips for meeting offline. Always meet in public.
Never go to a second location.
Tell a friend. Stay sober. Drive yourself to and from the first meeting. Hmm. So, keep it safe, old people.
All right. Fair enough.
Sorry. Keep it safe, people who are my age.
I was going to say. Stone thrower. My pick this week, I don't know. I'm going to look and see if it's on Netflix, which I hope it is. But if not, it's on DVD, and I'm sure there's other places to watch it. The one and only season of Swingtown.
Oh.
Which was an awesome show.
I miss Swingtown so much. That was really good. Why was it on normal TV?
It was originally supposed to be a Showtime show, and it should have been a Showtime
show. Because it was all about swingers.
Yes!
It was all about swingers in the 70s getting it.
If a show ever cried out to have boobies, it was Swingtown.
And like instead, aftermath of orgies and stuff, yes. It was on CBS.
On CBS, in prime time. The geriatric network. And they moved it like four times. They were so just dumping this thing. Like when they start airing you Saturdays at 10, it's kind of like, sorry, we ran out of kerosene, so we couldn't actually set you on fire. Anyway, Swingtown was a great show that you quite possibly missed. So do look for that. Just a quick reminder, the holiday season doesn't just mean the Christmas episode of 227. It also means that we're selling copies of Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Yeah.
The holiday film guide written by me.
And the special, the remix.
Yes. Well, it's the same book. We will happily sell you a very special edition that will feature
full of treats,
an autograph by me,
full and of other treats,
neat little treats that will stuff in there,
flat ones that go inside a book.
Yes, and a Christmassy gift wrap.
Yeah,
and you can get this for yourself or as a gift to someone else. I will happily sign
so many presents.
Sign
that you
it
can give.
To someone else. We'll send it to someone else and get, you know, that's one less headache for you to deal with this holiday season.
You could get this book on Amazon or some other retailer online for a cheap amount of money, like almost nothing, but it's been out for 5 years and it's been remaindered, you know.
Thanks again.
But what you want is the special edition. You want the special edition that's gift wrapped, that's signed, now, and is full of flat book sized treats.
Now, why did you not bring any Love the Coopers gift wrap home from that?
Because screen? I got an Organic Valley gift card instead.
Ah.
So I can get free butter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And
if it's an either or, then
the and plus it was kind of boring gift wrap anyway. Ah. It was boring gift wrap for people who don't care about gift wrap.
I see.
We
care.
Yeah, I totally do. So this is, you're going to pay full retail for this copy plus $3 postage. $20. You pay it to...
within the United States.
Linoleum...
Linoleum Podcast.
Linoleum...
at gmail.com. We've only been on the air for 5 years, Dave. Why would you bother to learn our email address?
You go to PayPal. This is where we are. We're PayPal. And on PayPal, we are Linoleum Podcast at gmail.com.
It's $20 within the U.S. It's more elsewhere. Drop us an email. We'll tell you how much more, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
And when you order the book, make sure to include... who you want it signed to and where you want it sent. And we will get that taken care of. And obviously, the sooner you order, the better your chances of us being able to get it out in time for Christmas. Also available on the book front is the long-awaited audiobook of Dave White's hilarious 2006 memoir, Exile in Guyville, which we recorded ourselves.
DIY recording this summer in a sweaty closet.
Yes. It's now available to be sent out to you on the internet, and it's a zip file with some MP3s in it, and it is pay what you want.
That's right. Are you poor and like a regular person? It's a dollar. Are you rich? It's a lot more.
Yes.
But you decide how much more. And then, again, PayPal...
Go to exileinguyvillebook.tumblr.com.
Oh yeah, that's where the link is.
And there's a PayPal button set up there.
Yeah.
And hours of entertainment.
And it's, you know, the whole book, 99% unabridged. People have begun asking me what's the 1% that got taken out. And I will tell you. When I wrote the book in the early 2000s, there were words that you could still comfortably get away with using that you shouldn't anymore. I shouldn't have then, but I didn't know any better because I was stupid. And now I don't use those words anymore, and they were in the book. They'll always be in the book. The book's out of print. So it's not like they're going to keep making copies of it.
But they won't be in the audiobook.
They are not in the audiobook. These are words that are not nice about people. And I don't say them anymore because I've learned things.
But pretty much it's all there.
I'm a much better human being now is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yes. Evolved. So, yeah. Anyway... as always, thank you for listening again to LKTV. We hope you enjoy these first few freebie episodes that we offer before we go subscription only, and that'll be happening soon.
Ish.
In the meantime, as always, we invite you to check out our friends on the internet. Go to ChristyLemire.com. Listen to the Rotten Tomatoes podcast with Gray and Matt. The B-Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney, who were very sweet last week and gave a very nice shout-out to our new LKTV show and to the Christmas book.
So I'm going
to
kiss them both on the mouth.
That was very sweet of them. And poor Bibbs is recovering
from the same time
emergency knee surgery. So that he's thinking of anyone else is very sweet of him. The Schmoes Know, Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley, the Brett Easton Ellis podcast, the Joel Ryan Thing, the Sewers of Paris, Fat Guys of the Movies, the Criterion cast, Film Spotting SVU, the Game Night Guys, and Secretly Timid. You can subscribe to this show for free at iTunes. Please leave us a review there. It does help people find the show. You can stream us at Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com and give us a little thumbs up or a star or a wink or whatever the nice things are there. Oh, yeah, it's always about the hearts now. Like our Facebook page. Join our Facebook group page where we talk about movies and other stuff with other listeners of the show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at LinoleumCast. And again, our email address is linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. For any questions you have about TV that we're covering on this program, that is a podcast of the television. And we will be back... We will be back. What?
It just sounds like you're reading something off a card. Now.
No, this is off the top of my head.
This is a show that is a podcast on the television.
I was just thinking in my head. I was trying to think in my head if next week was the week of Thanksgiving when we're going to be
the week remote after. Again.
It's 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Next week we'll be back in our apartment, and then the week after that we'll be from somewhere else.
Yes.
It'll just be thrill packed. But anyway, we will catch you then. And obviously, in the meantime, after you've enjoyed this, there will be a new episode of Linoleum Knife coming your way very soon.
Get ready, Bibbs and Whitney. The kiss on the mouth. It's coming.
Goodbye.
For your mouth.